Did you see that Diddy was caught drinking prison booze in jail?
Uh-oh.
His people issued a press release saying, yeah, it didn't happen. Sources with knowledge tell TMZ Diddy had some homemade alcohol in Fort Dix. Man, if I'm going to prison, I don't want to go to one that's called Fort Dix.
Yeah, how big is this fort?
It's the low-security prison where he's doing time. TMZ was told that alcohol is made from Fanta, sugar, and apples, which inmates give 2 weeks to ferment into alcohol.
Nice.
And Diddy's family spokesperson said, yeah, not true.
I like Fanta.
So we thought, oh, let's talk to our buddy, retired prison guard, Joe Carlone, and ask him what nifty things do prisoners make in prison? Hey, Joe.
Morning, guys. Hey. What do they make? Morning. Whatever your mind could think, they probably even go above and beyond that. I mean, it's called Pruno in the prison. And
why is it called Pruno?
I couldn't even tell you, but it was, you know, Pruno was the name for the prison hooch. They would take apples, oranges, whatever fruit from lunches, breakfast, you know, dinners, whatever, and then they would take some bread. And dude, I was telling Ruth yesterday, they would put it in plastic bags and just let it ferment. And I got to tell you, the odor, the stench coming from it, I don't even know how they could do it. And then over the years, seeing the guys do it just amazed me that they would go to that extreme to drink some alcohol. You know, I'm using air quotes. To get a little drunk. I actually, back in the day when I was at Hartford Correctional Center, they got to the point where it was called Amphil. It was like a Lysol product that we used to use just to, you know, disinfect and stuff. They would spray that in a cup and mix some fruit punch in it and drink that, and you knew right away because it would give them extreme stomach pains, but just to get drunk. And they would go to all extremes. I was never, you know, shocked at what they would do to get drunk.
Wow. They would drink Febreze.
Yeah, and they would, you know, they would make it, and they would put it in a plastic bag and put it under their bed. And you got to remember, some prisons, you know, you could have one staff member to 100 or 60 people, inmates.
You can't keep track of everybody.
Yeah, you can't. And, you know, they put it under their cell, their bunk. And they're going to go to extremes where they hide it and stuff. Most of the time we detected it. Because you'd always see fruit flies because of that. But if they,
you wouldn't smell the smell.
If they, well, the good convicts would have a tight bag, so you wouldn't smell it. When they would drink it, you would smell it, or you know, you'd see right away their actions and how they started acting. You know, and you got to remember, for the most part, a lot of them, you know, they've been locked up for a while, so a little bit of that will get them drunk.
Goes a long way, yeah.
Yeah, I love you, man.
Yeah, you would get the ones that, I love you, man, but mostly you would get they would become violent. And that's when, you know, we started seeing a lot. They become violent, and, you know, they would have the beer muscles and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible. It's just incredible. I mean, and, you know, like when they're coming back, like if you had mass movement for chows and stuff, you know, we would ensure that they weren't bringing fruit back or bread back. But if they're eating in their housing units or you know, they're really crafty how they hide the stuff, and they get it back, and they would make it, and they would, you know, they could buy fruit punch from the commissary and stuff, and they would mix that in just to kill it a little bit, the taste. But my God, it was just,
have you ever tried it?
I've ever been that, no, God, I don't think I've ever been that desperate, you know.
Have inmates offered you money to sneak stuff in for them?
Not to me. I would always say I carried the line very well. But there's, you know, it happens. It happens a lot, and it's amazing. You know, I had an incident when I was at one facility. I won't name where, but a staff member was on probation and fell in love with an inmate and started bringing stuff in.
Huh.
Wait, selling love?
No, fell in love.
Fell in love. I was like, I thought you said selling love. I'm like,
no, fell in love and started bringing in contraband for that individual.
Oh man!
And I always say you're throwing a beautiful career away for something that, you know, it's just you got had again. You know,
yeah.
They're professionals at the smooth talking.
Joe Carlone is on, former corrections captain for 25 years. Thank you for that. Yeah. All right, so the booze they would make in there, what else would you see? Weapons?
Listen to me. That was the greatest thing, but you would always see the weapons made. And for me, my biggest thing when we caught the weapons or found the weapons, where did it come from? They would make shanks out of, it had fans, and the metal shroud, they would take it from that. They would make it out of everything. I remember one inmate at Cheshire. This guy had the strongest hands in the world. He was able to undo security screws on stuff, in the prison with his fingers, and he would make weapons out of stuff. I've seen rods. I've seen toothbrushes were famous for that. Toothbrushes with razors. They would melt the razor at the end. It just
where the brush goes?
No, the other end. So they would they would use actually the brush part as the handle, and the other end would have a razor. They would melt it and embed the razor in there.
Wow!
And every
plus again, brush
time,
and shave too.
Every time you
that's what
every time
was,
I know every was, time you would do something or something would be found, there would be a security procedure for it. I had one MA at Cheshire that was able to put a razor from a Bic razor, and he would be able to tuck it in between his cheek and his teeth, and you never could detect it. And he would flip it around in his mouth and take it out without getting caught.
And what would he use it for?
It was his weapon, if he needed a weapon.
Wow.
I had another guy, again, at Cheshire, when they used to get Walkmans, would make a tattoo gun in like 2 minutes out of a pen and a Walkman, and he would make a tattoo gun out of it instantly.
It seems like a fun show, inmates making things, just throw them up. Instead of these cooking shows where they're like, all right, here's the ingredients, good luck.
Like chopped,
We're going to come back and see what you did. You give all these inmates all the same things, and then you say, we'll be back in an hour and see what you did.
Yeah, they're going to escape.
That's right.
That'd be funny. Yeah. You come back, you open the door, it's like, where are they?
It's just a poster of Mamie Van Doren in a big hole.
Are they on break?
I had one guy that made a clock. No lie. And I remember his name. He made a clock out of a fan motor and covers from peanut butter and jelly covers with elastic bands. And in a 24-hour period, that clock was only off a couple minutes.
Wow.
Man.
If they put their talent to good, it would be incredible. I mean, we had guys that could paint, make things. It was just their talent was – at Cheshire, there used to be a wood shop in there, and they would make signs and stuff. It was just – the talent that they have is just incredible. They would just direct their energy towards the wrong way.
Right.
But the stuff, the contraband that they would make – I had a guy at Hartford one time, metal antenna from a radio, was packing it with match heads, and the thing exploded on him and cut him up like shrapnel.
What was it supposed to be?
He was supposed to make a bomb for someone else. He was a gang member back then.
Ooh, gotcha.
They're making bombs behind the walls of prison.
Listen to me. Whatever you could think of, I always say it was not a job, it was an adventure. Because every day was something new. Wow. Every day.
Yeah.
Joe Carlone.
It never amazed me.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Joe Carlone, former correctional captain, 25 years. God bless you.
Yeah.
Hey, AJ, great to hear you back, buddies. Keep it up.
Thanks so much, man.
Here. Thank you, Joe.
All right.
Bill in Waterbury.
Hey, Trez, they used to take the hand sanitizer. You know how it's thick like jelly?
Yeah.
They would put it in a styrofoam cup. Put a little bit of salt in it, wait 5 minutes, and it turns into straight alcohol. They strain it through a kitchen hairnet, put Kool-Aid in there, and that's the best vodka they're drunk in like 3 minutes.
Wow.
It was amazing.
And they're safe to kiss, too.
So you must have been a prison guard during COVID.
No, just before.
Okay.
I got out in 18. But they could take a chicken bone, you could shave with it by the time they got done sharpening it. It was amazing. If they used their talent for good, there'll be so many great inventions. The greatest artists in the world are in prison.
Don't you think that's a show, though? You put them all in a room with a bunch of items, like the Chopped show, and go for it.
It's like Chopped and Forged in Fire, because they're trying to come up with a weapon, too.
They'll put Hallmark out of business with the cards they make. It was incredible.
What do you mean?
Just the pictures and the sayings they would draw. They always sent their mothers or their girlfriends a Mother's Day card or whatever. They were incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, the shower collection.
Wow, that's a that's another thing, like the prison cards.
Yeah, it would put Hallmark out of business, I'll tell you.
There's a show there.
Yeah,
there's a show.
Several
shows.
Absolutely.
It's a network.
Yes. Absolutely.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for your service.
Have a great day. Keep your head up, AJ.
I will, man. Thank you.
Well, I'm going in the box, Bill. Oh, I should have... The prison guy.
Oh, you had him right there.
This is who I got to talk to these people.
Oh, you can make Pruno.
You guys can make Pruno.
Joe on the road, you worked in the kitchen in the prison?
Kitchen, I did multiple jobs, and I was in a lot of different prisons.
You have any advice for someone who's going into a 4x8 hole?
Don't think about it. Don't think about the outside or anything like that. Just enjoy what you're doing, you know?
Okay. Listening to Barbie Girl.
Right.
Yeah. When I worked in the kitchen, I seen guys sneak stuff back. They would say it was chicken legs or something like that. They would shrink wrap it and then shrink wrap it to somebody's body. And this way they would get them back that way.
Wait. I'm not following you.
Each leg, they would shrink wrap it. They had shrink wrap, you know, to wrap stuff up.
Yeah.
And they put it in the fridge. And then they would hold it to somebody's body and then shrink wrap it around his body just to get it back in a block.
To smuggle it.
Got it.
Smuggler, yeah. And then I remember one guy, he was real big, big guy, and he would take a banana and he'd lift up his head and stick it in the fat in his neck. And then he'd put his head down and you couldn't see it disappear.
And he like an airport pillow.
How fat?
Oh, my God. There's a show. This is a hit show.
Yeah.
Is that a bone in your pants?
Hide the banana.
Nice.
Some of the blocks had metal stools that were bolted to the floor, and they would take wires from, like, a razor, you know, electric razors or something like that, and they would take it off, and they would attach the wires to the stool, and they would cook on the stool.
Wow.
And, you know, plug it in and cook it on the stool.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
And that could also be used as a fun seat for people you don't like.
It's
like,
it could be.
Sit right there.
Ass roast.
But, you know, each prison is its own little world. You can get anything you want. I've had friends that if I needed tape, he would stop by and he would, you know, pull a roll of tape out of his pants. I have no idea where to get it. And I would hide it in the cell. And then... if he needed something done, I would do it for him.
It's literally packing tape.
Wow.
It was packed somewhere you don't want to know.
Yes, it was.
It's called a prison wallet.
I've seen
an
apple fit in the bottom of cans when I would do the garbage sometimes, and there'd be bags of apples hiding in it. I just put the garbage over the top and so nobody would see it, you know.
Oh, wow. You were kind of a cool, you kind of helped them out a little bit.
Yeah, I everywhere I went, I was in for, you know, 15 years and never got in trouble for anything. You know, I took care of everybody and they took care of me if I needed anything. So,
wait,
you know.
you worked there or you were in prison working in the kitchen?
In prison. I was in four different prisons.
Oh.
And
for different crimes?
No, all in one shot. You know, as you get your level goes down, you go to different prisons.
And I was going to say, how bad is your cooking?
One time, when one dorm I was in, because you'd have six guys in a cubicle, and it was a smaller area than what you're going into, you know? And if somebody was going to have, like, sex in the cube, they would open the locker door at the end, so it blocked off a lot of the view, and somebody was standing like guard, and so nobody, you knew what was going on, but a lot of people didn't notice it, you know?
Wow.
So kind of blocking things off.
Hey, can I get your number? I just want to talk to you about prison stories at some time in the future.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you. We're talking about Diddy in prison. There was a report that he was caught drinking prison booze. His people deny it. Then we started talking about things made in prison and prison stuff. And Ed in East
Innovative
Haven is on the phone now. Hey, Ed.
Hey, guys. Up in Thomaston, Maine, there's a Maine State Prison Museum, and it showcases the stuff that the inmates make, not just the weapons and the tattoo guns, but the true artwork that these guys can do. It's really cool.
Wow.
There was a life-size wood carving of a Vietnam veteran on a Harley Davidson.
Life-size. Wow.
It was life-size, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And how long did it take
about the inmate who carved it and what he was in for and how long he was in prison for?
Do you remember anything from that?
He was still in prison, and this was back in 2022.
Wow. What else are you going to do with your time, really?
Seriously, yeah.
But the inmates make the art. They give it to the museum sells it, and the money goes right back to the inmate.
Oh. Then what do they do with the money?
I've never been in that situation. I assume they put it on the books for commentary.
Oh,
okay.
That's just what I've seen in TV, what they do with money in prison.
Is that how it works in there? You could buy, like, I thought the meals were, you know, provided.
You got to put money on somebody's books, like family members.
Yeah, from what I've seen on TV and stuff, you could buy stuff like bags of chips and leave in your cell or your footlocker or whatever it is. And
okay, so they'll give you basic meals, but then if you have extra money, you could buy stuff.
Yeah, right. Snacks.
Yeah. I still think you have to pay for lunch and dinner or whatever it is, like the two meals a day that they give you.
But what if you have no money? They're not going to let someone starve. I haven't heard any stories of anyone starving to death in prison.
No, I think if you have it, they take the money out.
I think they have to give you your three meals and then your snacks and stuff. I'm not sure. I don't know. You would have to talk to somebody who's been in on the inside.
We need that prison guy back on.
Yeah, luckily I haven't been in that situation.
Yeah. That sounds like a pretty wild thing, the inmate museum.
It was really cool. It was really cool.
That motorcycle, the life-size dude, that's pretty wild.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, man.
You too.
Joe Carlone is back. Joe, thank you.
Hey. They could buy the money gets put back on commissary so they could buy snacks, they could buy Kool-Aid, they could buy TVs. Their meals for most prisons are free. If there's extensive medical, they can sometimes the state takes the money back. But most of the stuff is provided. The commissary, they used to have a furniture shop in the Connecticut prison where they made unbelievable furniture.
Wow.
But the inmates didn't get the money back. It went into a general fund for the population. But, yeah, there's prisons that they sell stuff. I actually had someone, one of my buddies went to a convention somewhere for prisons, and they made a money clip that was unbelievable. It's talent.
Very talented,
The money, you want money on their account, especially if you're doing a long time. You know, they could buy the ramen noodles. Stuff like that. It's just incredible.
Do you ever find anything and you thought, wow, this is, you can't have this?
All the time.
All the time.
When the guy made the clock, I was just like, are you kidding me? And I kept it in my office, and in a 24-hour period, it was only off a couple minutes. How?
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
How?
Right. How?
The talent of, I remember the stuff they would make from stingers. They would take electric cords, cut them, and put it into the water to boil it up so they could make stuff. Or
unbelievable.
In the dormitories, when the big dryers were there, they would make sandwiches and find a place to tuck it in the dryer to warm it up and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quiznos.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Listen to me. Yeah, bye.
All right. Sorry, Joe. Joe's got to be like in studio. I think he could do a whole segment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Monica in Vernon.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. So, yeah, you get commissary. You get money put on your books, and you can buy, like, personal things like soap, shampoo for the women's prison. There's only one.
How do you know this?
I went to jail.
Oh. For what?
A little bit of time, but I was there a few times.
For what?
Drunk and stuff. Every time. Yeah. I was arrested. I was under the influence, so.
Oh, you went to jail for that?
But you're better now.
Yeah, it's a rolling, like, snowball. You get probation, then you violate probation, and then it just escalates.
Oh.
Where they just put you in jail.
How long were you in jail?
The longest I was in was 4 months.
That is a long time. A weekend is, by the way, 24 hours in a box is a long time.
It feels longer. It feels longer.
It's not 24 hours. It's like, you know, you go through medical for 2 weeks, especially when COVID was going on. And then you get moved to a different part of the prison and, you know, so on and so on. It's not that bad.
All right. You have any advice for someone who's going in for 24 hours?
Just stick to yourself. Don't be so loud because you will be told to shut up and they're not nice. So just stick to yourself.
And
that doesn't happen either. Like, it's so overrated.
Overrated. The shower stuff?
Like she wants.
Yes. Unless you want it, right.
Yeah, you sounded like disappointed that you didn't get, you know, any action in the shower.
I didn't say I did it.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Really? Does that happen a lot in the ladies' prison?
I mean, you're lonely there. You want human contact, especially if you're there for a long time. And if it's a woman, then... Oh, well.
Well,
you have needs.
Well, did you have any? Did you have any woman-on-woman contact before prison?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like a big stretch for you. Yeah, you're like,
no. Nobody harasses you and like makes you their bitch, you know. So it's not like that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. And so things would happen right in the shower, or where would they happen?
Wherever. I mean, there's a two-person cell. Then you get moved to a dorm, which, you know, like the guy said before, there's about 6 beds, a lot of women in one room. And that's tough. It's loud. 3 o'clock in the morning, still loud.
Wow.
Yeah.
You just keep to yourself, though. Yeah, right.
Yeah. You do keep to yourself. That's what I did.
What's that?
If you keep to yourself, you don't make, like, enemies and you don't get involved with drama. If you just... Go there, do your time, and
all right. I'm stick to myself.
Stronger.
Don't talk to Sky Haney.
Right.
Keep my mouth shut.
Right. Make a tattoo gun out of a Walkman.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yes, they are the best artists ever, because a lot of people with addiction, and I would say, oh my God, maybe not 80% of people in York CI are there for drugs or alcohol.
I'm just more interested in the relations. I don't know why. The female prison, you know, I'm a 12-year-old boy in an old man's body. But so how does that work? Do you have a relationship with one person, or are you with multiple people? What's that like?
Mostly one person. Yeah. And that's where a lot of fights come in, because, you know, you looked at my girl.
Yeah.
Same thing with any relationship.
Right. That's, it's like out here, but with bars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Monica, I want to grab your number for when we do a prison segment, which we're doing now, but we're going to do it again. All right?
Okay.
It's kind of weird we're talking about prison stuff, and I'm going into the box with Scott Haney.
It's kind of ironic.
On Thursday until Friday. Yeah, so we'll take the prison stories and advice, by the way. George on the road.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, so commissary, you can order TVs, video games, food, shoes, Bob Barker's. Barker makes a lot of money. People don't realize
it. What is Bob Barker's?
Boots. Bob Barker are, you know, the, like, Timberland boots? He makes them for all the jails and prisons in Connecticut.
The Bob Barker, the dead game show host?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
The Price is Right.
Yeah. There's it's crazy. And the money that's exchanged in prison, there's two things. There's jail and there's prison. Jail is where you go to learn what not to do and what to do in prison. So you first go to jail. And then you go to prison. Prison
is that how they do it?
And all that stuff.
So they send you to jail first?
Yeah. Like BCC, which is Bridgeport Corrections Center.
Oh.
And they sort of teach, you have class. Teach you what to do and what not to
Wait,
do.
Wait, like a real class?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A real class.
Around.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep.
A real class.
You know,
With people in it.
Real class.
And a teacher comes in and says, all right, don't.
They tell you what not to do, what to do, like, how to not disrespect people.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Like,
oh,
yeah. Go, run through, please.
Oh, yeah. And you have to, and thank God you listen, because you could be, you know, you could be killed. I saw a guy get stabbed in the neck in jail for disrespecting somebody.
Well, I'm going to make sure I don't do this on Thursday.
Thanks to Shiv 101.
So what did he do?
He just disrespected a guy.
Give me an example.
You tell him no when, he asks you to move or... just stupid things. Stupidest things you could ever
see,
imagine.
There's that line, though. You don't want to be someone's bitch, and, like, everyone who comes over and tells you what to do,
right.
You do it, right?
Right, exactly.
How do you know when to...
I've seen guys fight and be put in solitary for 4 packages of ramen noodles in a poker game.
Wow.
That's
what happened to the guy that was stabbed in the neck?
Don't know. The state police came in, did an investigation. The guy, and people who serve a long time in prison, I didn't. I just served 4 months. But people who serve a long time in prison, they get creative. I mean, he ripped out a piece of aluminum molding from in the shower area and sharpened it up, and that was his knife.
Wow.
Jeez.
A machete.
And did you ever see that guy who was stabbed in the neck again?
No, he was gone. That's when I went to prison. But prison is not a fun thing. And now, not being homophobic or anything else like that, Chaz, because I'm not that type of person, but a gay person in prison, in the prison I was in, they had him locked up in an individual cell. He couldn't leave the cell unless he was escorted to the shower or to the food area. Most time he got his food in the cell, because in prison, it's called no homo. And
how many years ago was this?
11.
I think that we're more advanced now, but
right? Yeah.
No, they're not. And thank God they passed a law in Connecticut. It's called the Good Behavior Law, where if you are good in prison and you don't cause trouble, you don't get sent to solitary or any of that, they knock off, I believe it's a day off your sentence every week that you're in. So you can get 52 days off a year taken off your prison sentence.
Okay.
Which, thank God that was in place when I went in, because people before that, I was told it was like Mad Max, where you get to the area to eat, you'd eat as fast as you can, because it wasn't if a fight was going to happen, it was when a fight was going to happen.
Yeah.
And once a fight happens, they start shooting pepper balls, and that's it. Your meal's done. So thank God.
I wonder if there's anything Scott and I could do to have time shaved off our stay.
Good behavior, yes.
Good behavior.
Good
behavior law. Thank
behavior.
God
get shot by pepper balls.
I saw guys playing basketball, and everybody was standing in line to use the phone, and one guy from basketball held the phone for the other guy, and this guy was looked like a wrestler, big monster white guy standing in line with me. Normally he would have went up there and just started beating the crap out of the guy to get the phone use, because you're limited time on phone. And he walked up to the guy's like, what are you gonna do? You lose your good time? And that guy was in for like 10 years. So he had a lot of good time racked up. He said, nope, not worth it, and walked away.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It's I'll tell you, it's eye-opening. You meet a lot of people that are down on their luck and who've had, terrible, terrible lawyers and, public defenders and stuff like that, where one guy hung himself after...
We're going down a dark road now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. He was waiting for trial. He thought he was going to get out in like 5 years. They gave him 25 years.
Oof.
And he's like, nope, I'm done.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't want to get people upset, but in prison, they have it too good.
It doesn't. You can't. Yeah. And no. You started with a guy got stabbed in the neck.
Okay,
you know.
But believe it or not, there's guys in there that life in prison is comfortable. You get three meals a day.
Right.
Video game systems.
Right. They can maneuver through that life easier than out here. I get that.
Exactly. And that to me is not fair to victims who, you know, have gone through hell because of the person who's in jail.
Well, then there's the people who get out and do crime on innocent people again, and they don't care if they go.
That's the problem.
They stop teaching.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Hey, no problem.
It's
a scary place, I'll tell you that. Talk about being scared straight.
Okay.
I haven't drank in 12 years.
Okay. You said, they have it easy in there. And then you say, it's a scary place. You also said, guy got stabbed in the neck.
Trust me, for a normal person, it's a scary place.
Yes, that's the way to put it. For a normal person, it's a horrifying place. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, George. Thank you, man. Dana in Waterbury.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
So, I have a husband. I'm actually divorced from him now because it's been way too long, but he's been in prison now for 16 years in Connecticut. And I can tell you that Connecticut is one of the worst prisons ever. The way they do things, the commissary, like the other person was talking about, no, it's not Bob Barker. No, it's not. It's not, but it's 10 times more expensive to buy things on their commissary than what we would buy out here. So they make it very difficult for them. And so he's been there a long time. He works.
Can I ask you what he went in for? How long is he been in for 16? How long is he going to be in?
He had 25, so he should be out very soon. It's just turning 17. And he had an accident. Someone got killed. And he was responsible for that. So, unfortunately, that's what happened.
He had an accident in a car?
Yes, and it was with a firearm.
Oh.
It was with a firearm.
In a car?
No, it was in his house. And he killed somebody that was sitting at the table.
Oh.
So he was moving it from his pocket into a bag, and it fired. And, you know, it showed all the powder inside the bag. You know, it was an accident. I understand. I know him for, like, over 20 years.
How long were you married at that point?
I married him in 2013 when he came home on a bond. He had $1 million bond. It cost $70,000 that you do not get back. And I put up my house. I had a very large house in Norwalk.
So you guys were engaged at the time or dating at the time this happened? You weren't married when it happened?
No, I didn't marry. I married him when he came home on bond. But we were very good friends, and I always, you know, called him and helped him.
What was the theory behind getting married right then?
You know, there wasn't a theory. It was stupid because, so I married him, and then I married him on March 30th, and he was in prison by April 1st.
Wow.
So,
wow,
I mean,
like days. Like a day.
Yeah.
It was not a smart thing to do. And I did waste 9 years of my life, you know, helping him, visiting him. now, in Connecticut, we used to have to pay for phone calls. Now they're free. So any phone calls are free. And then there's also a texting system that you can, you know, send messages.
So how did you tell him, hey, look, you know, it's been 9 years. It's time for me to fly.
Well, he understood. He understood that. I said, listen, I need to move on with my life. And, you know, I wasted. I was, I'm 59 now. So I am with someone else. And
you still keep in touch with him?
I'm sorry?
Do you still keep in touch with him?
I do. So his mother lives with me. She's been with me for 15 years.
Oh,
wow. She's 87 years old. So what am I going to do? I mean, I have a little apartment in my basement. She lives there.
Well, your new guy is pretty cool to understand and get all this.
Yeah.
Yes. So the prison system in Connecticut is very poor. They do not allow things like they do in New York, where you can bring a box to someone, you know, send a box to them with items. Here in Connecticut, it's terrible. And they used to use UConn for all their medical, but they decided they were going to have their own medical. The medical care is very poor. Unless you need a surgery or something bad happens, they take you to UConn. So there's a lot of people, they put them on methadone. There's a big methadone program there. Eric has always worked. Now he had a very large business here in Connecticut. And,
oh, wow. So was he a guy who was, like, never in trouble and he had a fire? Why did he have that gun? Like, just for protection target shooting?
He was born and raised in Michigan, and he had a lot of guns. But it was a Glock 9, and it was a gun that did not have a proper safety on it. And he had an attorney. He had two attorneys. He had Hubie Santos, who died while he,
Hubie
Santos was a very large attorney, but he died while he was representing Eric.
Oh.
So yeah. So it was a lot of things that happened, but the prison system itself. So what are you doing? Are you going there?
I'm kind of going in a prison, and
in a way,
I really don't want to downplay what real people go through. But yeah, it's an event to raise cash and collect toys for needy kids in Connecticut. Me along with Sky Haney, Channel 3 Weather, will be locked up for 24 hours, forced to listen to a horrible song over and over.
It's really not what this other person was talking about. I don't think that he really was ever in prison, and I was the wife of someone who was there, and I know what it is. Yeah. So he's been moved now. He's
unfortunately, I gotta go. Can I grab your number for a future prison segment?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm at 20.
Wait.